Today on Real Radio.
It's a strange topic, I admit, but hell is the most popular thing, if you think about it, in the minds of people. They don't even want to say that they believe in God or not, or they don't even want to admit that they believe in the possible realm of the spiritual world, but there's this haunting, gnawing thought that hell might be real.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? You know, when a person comes to true faith in God the Son, he's got to come to terms with, well, shall we say, unpleasant truths. One of those truths is that there's not only a heaven to gain, but a hell to shun. And if one's real, well, they're both real. Choosing to ignore the reality of eternal damnation, it doesn't make it just go away. Is hell real? And what is it like? Well, these are some key questions that Pastor Jack answers from the Scripture. Here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And tonight we're going to be looking at this, asking this question, is hell really real? And what is it like if it is real? Hell. By the way, nobody wants to talk about hell. Think about it. Go try to find a book on hell. Try to find messages. Go online and try to find sermons on hell. It's not the best promotional topic to grow a church with. Hey, why don't you come to our church next week? Why? We're talking about hell. It's not the biggest deal that people want to hear about, yet it's something that people constantly think about. Did you know that Jesus spoke on hell than any other biblical person? Jesus did. About hell. The Bible says what it says about hell, and we're going to be looking at those things tonight, but in Romans chapter 12, this is the theme verse. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or we could use the word worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, radicalized, brainwashed, cleansed of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then mark this verse down. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Boy, just with that verse alone, can somebody say amen? Amen. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The very argument that Paul puts to the church at Rome is to consider this, that outside of Christ, there is absolute condemnation. Did you know that? Think about that. When he says and declares, there is therefore now no condemnation, the word in the Greek implies that on the back of the neck, that's what the word means, on the back of the neck of all those who are in this world without Christ, there is an axe, as it were, just hovering above the skin, waiting to sever their life that they might enter eternity in judgment. Condemnation. You say, Jack, I don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. But the Bible is truth. It is God's word to us. And if we pay close attention to it, we will understand some very key things. That through Jesus Christ, we can escape the condemnation of hell itself. This is the most awesome news the world has ever heard. Listen, I have a question for you. It's kind of tricky. But why did Jesus come and die? Well, you might say for our sins. Right on. But there's more to that. Why did Jesus, in fact, how about this way? Theologically correct. Are you guys listening? Because this is going to kind of hurt your ears a moment. It's going to freak out. But theologically, it is exactly accurate. You know how the Bible says that there's one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus? It's an awesome statement. If I could grab one part of the world and hold it here, and another part of the world and hold it here, and pull them together, those two worlds that Jesus is pulling together is the world of the Father, eternity, salvation, and hope, everlasting life, and it is a lost humanity, and Jesus is the mediator, and he brings them two together. Having said that, Jesus Christ died for us. Why? To save us from our sins. Why? Because our sins is what pulls us or bounds us or keeps us in hell. It is the strength. The law, which is holy, grabs us by the feet because it's holy and says, you are not holy, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the law pulls us down and delivers us to judgment. Jesus came and fulfilled the law and set us free. But listen, he not only died for us, but because God's word is eternal and must be kept, God's word will never break. God will never break a promise. He will never change the word that he's given to us. Jesus, pulling those two worlds together, not only died for us for salvation, but listen, he died for God's word in fulfillment. Think about that. The great mediator. It is awesome. And if you trust Christ tonight, the Bible declares that there is therefore now no condemnation. Once there was upon your life, but not anymore. And the power of hell has been broken. So how do we get from here to heaven? And is hell really real? There are pictures that come to our mind when we mention the topic of hell. I kind of sometimes think of the old bearded man who's on the pictures. You think of the last days. He's walking around. He's got a sandwich board sign draped over his shoulder, and it says, the end is near. Repent. You think of hell maybe being of some depiction like that. You think of maybe Dante's Inferno when you've read the book or looked at some of the paintings that have been put forth regarding hell itself, where it's got all of these freakish-looking red-skinned, demon-human-like beings that are winged with pitchforks and horrible, scary-looking things. And is that hell? When you think about hell, it's a strange topic, I admit, but hell is the most popular thing, if you think about it, in the minds of people. They don't even want to say that they believe in God or not, or they don't even want to admit that they believe in the possible realm of the spiritual world, but there's this haunting, gnawing thought that hell might be real. And so tonight, you might be here this evening saying, well, I don't think it's real. I respect your opinion, and I remember when I didn't believe it was real. I must confess, though, when I did not believe that hell was real, it's because it had better not have been real. Why? Because I was living like hell. I was living a life that if hell was real, then I was going there. And so thus I concluded that didn't make me feel good. So I would walk around in my head chanting this mantra, hell can't be real, hell can't be real, hell can't be real. And then I read the Bible. And the Bible talks about hell. The great thing about what the Bible says about hell is how to escape it. And that's great news. This is an emotional topic, the topic about hell. I'm going to give you four things that are predominant. It's not all of them in totality, but a predominant thing. And you can add on to this, as your life's experience might have heard. But check this out. Some people have felt like they're responsible, for example. Many ministries today, listen carefully, church, there are a lot of pastors today. There are now denominations that are moving this way. There are congregations that now think, feel upon themselves that they're responsible now to try to make God look better than what he really is, I guess, huh? In their minds. And hell can't be real because that's a negative thought. And so because of their misunderstanding about what hell is and why hell is, there are now more and more ministries that deny the existence of hell. Even though the Bible says it is real, it is a popular movement. So church, beware. This is a big deal. There are famous ministries that behind the walls and lights and the curtains, in the leadership of those movements, they don't believe that hell is real. And so it's not something that they want to talk about. Another group is the group that suggests that hell can only be temporary for a little bit, because if it's as bad as the Bible says that it is, then it just can't last long. And maybe it only lasts as long for the person who's in hell, in exact correlation to the magnitude of their sin. In other words, if they were an Adolf Hitler, they got to stay in hell for a longer period of time than somebody else who's not so bad. Are you with me on that? Do you hear that? That's an argument today. People making up this excuse that makes them feel better about what the Bible says. And you may say, well, Jack, you're kind of getting all excited talking about this thing. You know, like, you want people to go there? Oh, I do not want anybody to go there. And I'm going to make a huge grand leap and assumption tonight and say there's nobody in this building who wants someone that they know or even somebody we don't know to go there. But do we really believe that it exists? Wasn't it William Booth who was the founder of the Salvation Army? Huh? Isn't it William Booth who said, if I could take one of my converts that have come to Christ and have joined the Salvation Army, if I could somehow suspend them over the pit of hell for 10 minutes, he said they would never backslide if they could see it. It's an uncomfortable topic. Churches don't want to talk about it. I understand that. But trying to explain it away doesn't change the Word of God whatsoever. Then there are some people that believe that everyone's going to go to hell. You're going to go, I'm going to go, we're all going to go. I had somebody knock on our door a couple of years ago. I found they were from some church in L.A. I don't want to name it, but it's some church in L.A., and if you don't go to that church, you're going to hell. They told me on my doorstep, hi, would you come to our church in L.A.? I said, why would I go to L.A. to go to church? Well, you have to go to L.A. to go to our church because, number one, if you're not baptized by our ministers, you're going to hell. I'm serious, church. And I said, well, I've already been baptized. And they said, you were not baptized in our water. I'm serious. And they told me that I was going to hell. And then there's another view, and this is the fourth, and it's the basic view. It's just, it's something that, I don't know, I call it, it's your mama's view. And I made that up because it's my mama's view. I mean, it's not my mama's view now. My mom is in heaven. She's got a great view now. But it would be something like this. And this is what we hear all the time. It's God would never send anybody to hell. Just don't worry about it. Wouldn't send anybody there. You don't think like that. Well, when you read the Bible carefully, for some bizarre reason, man, we're crazy people, we're bent on getting there ourselves. It's the weirdest thing. So tonight we're going to look at probably our first points because of the seriousness of this topic about hell. Is it real? And what's it like? Number one, jot this down, church, if you would. And that is the origin of hell itself. The origin of hell. What about it? Is hell really real? The answer to that question determines. You see, determines what? It determines on who you listen to. If you listen to modern theologians, then listen. The origin of hell is in the mind of man's consciousness. It's in the argument that man has with himself over guilt and shame, his concept of God who's holy and removed from man in pure righteousness. Man has a sense of unholiness, and so there is this discrepancy, and man formulates, based upon his emotions, that there is a hell. It depends on your ear and who you're lending it to. Then there are those who will say, no, it's when it talks about hell in the Bible, it's metaphorical. It's metaphorical flames. It's metaphorical gnashing of the teeth. It's metaphorical eternity. It's all a metaphor. And look, that is very convenient if it were true. However, I don't want to even metaphorically take the chance that those guys who are putting that metaphorical answer are correct or not. And why would I take a modern-day theologian's view over the very declaration of Jesus himself or the prophets from Genesis to Revelation? What are we talking about here? We're talking about hell, the very thing that Jesus came to earth to rescue you and I from. It's not one thing that he washed away our sins at the cross, but listen, it's the fact that we have been freed from hell itself. And here's the thing. I'm convinced of this now. After studying this, I have to confess that looking at it, reading it, looking up the words, and trying to see from where, for example, I take the word of God literally, but I was trying to read it from the view of those who don't, and I'm trying to look at the original language and figure out how do I argue this hell thing right out of existence so I don't have to worry about it. And you can't do it. You have to spiritualize Scripture, and then once you spiritualize Scripture, then you wind up getting messed up in all kinds of other areas. It's real. Some people will say, well, you know what? Hell is what people are going through here and now. Now, look, that may be true, but the worst is yet to come. Look, things are bad. Look, things are bad in this world. I understand that. Things are bad. But you know what? According to the Bible, this ain't it. You see, Jack, why are you telling us this stuff? And I brought my friend here tonight. I was hoping you'd pump them all up and get them all excited. But hey, listen, this is a good message for somebody who doesn't know Jesus. This is a good one. In fact, come back next week because it'd be the same thing. I mean, not the same thing, but it's the same topic. Listen to this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Write it down. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, isn't that weird? There's angels who sinned in eternity, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, he has reserved them for the day of judgment. So we know, first of all, from the Bible, that there are fallen angels who are chained in a place called hell. Who says? The Bible says. Revelation 1:18, Jesus says it himself. The letters in your Bible are written in red. Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, he says. That is true. The word amen is, it's true. And I have the keys of hell and death. Isn't that awesome? I'm so glad Jesus, you know, Jesus gave Peter the keys for a little bit, but apparently somewhere after Jesus gave Peter the keys, Jesus took him back because now he's got him here in the book of Revelation. I'm glad Jesus is driving the thing. Jesus has got the keys. And the Bible says of hell and death, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead. This is the great white throne judgment of God that is yet futuristic. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says that hell is real, and there's only one way to escape it, and that's through Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jack, I belong to another religion. What do you even talk about? We don't even believe in this stuff. Listen, I love you, and I'm so glad you're here tonight. But listen, I encourage you to believe the one who told you what was going to happen in advance, and not only that, said, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten, betrayed, and I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be put in the ground, and 3 days later, I'm going to come back from the dead, and I'm going to tell you what it's all about. I would rather have you trust him than me or anyone else on this planet. There's only one, and that one says hell is real. And again, remember, Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody else written in the Bible. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go there. He loves you so much. You say, well, I don't like the whole concept about hell. Does that mean if there's a hell, then God is somehow bad? Why would you think such a thing? How many of you can hear me right now? Raise your hands. Just testing. Now look, you don't have to raise your hand for this one because I already know the answer. How many of you want to be loved and to love? God made us that way. You can't say, well, no, I don't know if I want to or not. You're crazy because that's the way God made you. To love and to be loved. If I walked up to you and I put a gun to your temple and I said, love me. Love me tender. Love me sweet. You'd go, what are you, nuts? I'm calling a cop. Why would you do that? Because that's not love, is it? That's rape. God has engineered into you the ability of choosing who you will love. God put that in you. You decide on love. Now, you young people, you very, the super young people, I think the older you get, I hope anyway, the older you get, this fades away. But when you're really young, you fall in love about 3 times a week. Why? Because the emotions are so intense, and it's not love at all. It's infatuation. It's a lot of hormonal stuff going on. It's kind of crazy. That's not love. Love is when you yield, you give, you completely surrender. And it's till death do we part. It's a decision you make. I am going to go all the way with this man, with this woman, till death do we part. This is it. Forsaking all others, we cleave together. That's a decision. When we read a moment ago that the angels, that there were angels who were kicked out of heaven and bound in hell in chains, why did that happen? In other places of the Bible, it teaches us that they were apparently by Satan or Lucifer himself deceived. Why? In heaven, as with angels, so it is with humans. Worship is a choice. We worship out of love or not. You came out here tonight to this service to worship God. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's the only reason why you came. Well, I came because the traffic was bad and I just thought I'd stop here and kill time. You know what? The moment you cross the threshold of this property, knowingly or unknowingly, because we prayed for you, you've come to worship. Didn't the Magi come from, the Magi came from Babylon, and did they not say, we have come to worship him? You worship him in the Bible. You worship him where we're singing these incredible songs, which are really prayers of ours to him that we, in a convocation together, offer up to him. It's awesome. He loves it. It's amazing that when we worship, he gets excited. Can you imagine exciting God? He said, I just, there's not much excitement in my life anymore. I tell you what, you worship God, he gets all excited. And when God gets excited, he lets you know. It begins to affect your life. It just spills over out of heaven and right on your face, all over you. When you're worshiping, when you're a worshiper, people are going to know it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that answers the question, is hell real, and what is it like? It's a scriptural look at the harsh reality that every true believer must come to terms with. Again, the title, is hell real, and what is it like? It's a key part of Pastor Jack's series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of which, don't forget that every Monday night you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Did you have a chance to catch last Monday night's program? Well, if you missed it, it's not a problem. Just click on Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. And then, of course, watch tonight's edition of Real Life with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. Our telephone number, by the way, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.